Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. I can't believe we are almost into the last week of March. Where is this year going? I just want to remind you to live every day to the fullest. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in here to the Kim Pagano Show. I want to make sure that you're downloading our podcast and following us through our social. And I am so excited to have my first business networking mixer of 2024 is full. And I'm so excited for that. So I can't wait to either meet you or all the people that I've already know, just to bring them together and connect them. So if you are interested in being a part of it for our next one, definitely reach out. And let me give you the number, 805-419-0008. Again, 805-419-0008. Of course, I always like to start my show with something uplifting. And today's is, no matter what is happening in your day, in your life, take each day to remember all the good things that you have and appreciate them and show some gratitude. So with that, I am so grateful that my next guest, my first guest, has been a sponsor of ours. She believes in us. We believe in her. She is making a difference in so many families' lives. And of course, Kim O'Brien, Survival Swim with Kim. She teaches kids 6 months and up to actually roll, float independently, and really, I mean, the most important thing is to be safe and to survive in water. God forbid they fall in. And so I'm excited to have her on. She comes on all the time, really, to share to how to empower your children with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water. Kim, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And thank you for what you do. Also, not only that, I mean, thanks for staying out of the water for a little bit. How many people are you doing?
I'm teaching about 25 kids a day. And just loving life.
That's so cool. I love it. I love when we are doing, you know, really what our passion's all about. And that's what it's all about, right?
It is. It is absolutely wonderful to be able to cuddle with babies all day.
I know. And in warm water. I mean, how cool is that, right?
Right? Who doesn't want to be outside?
Exactly. So talk to us. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, summertime is coming, Kim. And, you know, people plan vacations and summer barbecues, pool parties. And so it's really important to think ahead as the summer comes and the warm months, and you're going to be around water, around pools with your kiddos, and how to keep them safe. There's a lot of things that maybe you don't think of before you plan your vacation. And then you get to your destination and you're like, oh, there's more water than I expected. Or, you know, my kid doesn't know what to do. I don't know how to keep them safe. So thinking about those things ahead of time is really important so you can plan and keep those little ones safer.
So what would be on the top of the list for safety?
Gosh. Well, number one would be swim lessons. If you can get your kids in swim lessons before your vacation so they have a head start, they have had time to learn some skills and be able to practice those skills before your vacation, then they will be ready to go when you get there. And it'll be one less worry and one less fear that you have when you get to your destination. So if at all possible, you should already be in swim lessons or planning them really soon, because most programs fill up pretty fast for their summer lessons.
Wow. And I know, because I mean, I have grandchildren and I know how fast summer school, like you, I mean, you have to be on that or else you're out. So, yeah, I mean, everything in life is really planning ahead. And so why not plan your safety for this summer or your water safety for this summer? So, you know, okay, so if you're going to a hotel and make sure that either they have a lifeguard there, that might be something, right? I know you don't like those floaties, so definitely let's talk about that for a second.
Yes, I really don't like floaties. And it's not just me.
No, but it's, floaties, yeah, it's a proven fact, right?
They are so dangerous for kids. They are marketed really well, but they are not safe for kids. They teach kids to be in a up and down vertical position with their feet underneath them. And kids' heads are heavy. They weigh twice as much as their bodies. And so their little muscles can't hold that head up. And the floaty is doing all the work, but kids don't know that. They think, oh, I'm doing it, and I'm having fun. And then what happens? They take the floaty off, or we're getting out of the pool now, and we're going away and don't have the floaty on, but kids don't realize it and run and turn back and get in the water. And what happens? They can't swim because that floaty isn't on them, and they didn't realize, and that's how dangerous accidents happen. They just give kids a false sense of security. It is very dangerous.
So with saying that, would you say life jackets?
Life jackets, definitely. Okay. Especially in open water, a proper fitting life jacket. Life jackets are built for different size kids, so make sure you have the proper fitting for that for your age of child. And little kids need ones with the strap that go between the legs because it helps them fit properly. Even though that might be annoying, it's there for a reason. And so
you could pull them, because I know we go to the lake a lot, and my grandchildren, you want to hold on to them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So life jackets are definitely important, and just make sure it's, you know, U.S. Coast Guard approved, and definitely use life jackets, especially in open water. If you're in a pool and your kids aren't aquatically trained, can't swim yet, holding them is so important. Hold them. Don't rely on a device to let them float in the water. You have them in the water in your hands and splash and play and teach them, you know, what it feels like to move in the water. But it's definitely important for parents to be involved. Sometimes when people use flotation devices like floaties, they use that as kind of a babysitter. They let the kid go and play in the water while they're, you know, on their phone or reading a book. Don't do that. That teaches kids that it's okay to go in the water without you. And then what happens, you know, when you're not around? They don't know the difference, and they will go and do it on their own. And again, it can be a dangerous situation.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, also, pool fences. If you have a pool or you're staying with somebody, that's super important to be doing. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So it's important to have a pool fence all the way around on all four sides of the pool. And also, even when you're planning a vacation, like if you're going to be in a hotel with a pool, make sure that your room isn't overlooking the pool. Make sure it's further away. Make sure that that isn't a community that has open pools with no fencing. You know, that's another added layer of safety. If you're at a house, make sure that the gates are, you know, shut properly and that kids can't open the gate easily. It's very important to have a barrier around a pool, especially when you have kids.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, a lot of people are going on vacation, not even at a hotel, but like an Airbnb. And you don't know that if their doors are locked, if they have alarms on their doors, you know, if they're
exactly.
Yeah. It, those are just such a great reminder, to be, you know, talking about and checking. So, yeah. And now what about, you know, teething and being able to swim independently, you know, like when I say teething, they're biting on things, you know, they're very curious, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah. What would you say, you know, for that?
So many kids of all ages have a fixation with putting things in their mouth, so mm-hmm. Or reaching for toys. And so if you have toys in the pool, they may try and go after them. Mm-hmm. If you're in the pool with them and have toys, it's okay to have some, you know, some pool toys or bath toys in the pool with you and splash and play and have fun. They're going to put them in their mouth. It's okay. When I teach babies, I have toys in the pool for them so that they learn, you know, even if they're holding something or even if they put it in their mouth, if they fall under the water, they know exactly what to do. And many times the babies will be holding the toy. They'll be chewing on it. They go under the water, come up in their float, and they still have the toy in their hand. Like they don't even let go of it.
So
they
cute.
Learn that, okay, I know what to do with the rest of my body. I know how to float and hold on to my toy. Mm-hmm. And so it's important, no matter what stage they're at, that, you know, even if they're teething, we teach them when they're teething. We teach them as they're, you know, growing into their bigger bodies. And it's important to just adapt kind of to where a child is in their developmental stages and help them learn at that stage.
I love it. I love your videos that you post all through social. And can you give everybody your website so that they can take a look at them? I mean, they're so young, and yet you're doing such a great job. I love it.
It is always amazing to watch the kids when they get that skill down. And it amazes me every single time. I'm always, you know, I'm a proud mama every time they get their mm-hmm. skills and just absolutely love it. My website is www.survivalswimwithkim.com, and I am also on Facebook and Instagram, and I post videos all the time of different kids, different ages, showing their skills and what they can do, what they've learned in their lessons.
Yeah, I love it. I want to talk about, like, you know, the holidays are coming up. There's Easter parties. There's Easter egg hunts. There's, you know, different things that are happening, and sometimes we can't watch all the kids, so it's probably like really important to do a buddy system, right? Someone, you know, if your husband's not there, your partner's not there, or somebody that, you know, it's like, who is going to watch all the kids? Why go bring something out or whatever? Like, you want to make sure that somebody's really responsible, correct?
Definitely. So there are a couple good tips when you're at a party, especially a party with a pool and lots of kids. One is never assume that someone else is watching the kid. So you always do a verbal handoff. If you and your partner are there with your kids, you know, verbally handoff, you've got, you know, so-and-so now. I don't have them. And then make sure that person responds, yes, I've got so-and-so. So you know, they heard you and they responded back that they're aware they're watching that child at the moment.
Right.
Another thing is if you have a pool and kids are in the pool, always assign a water watcher as someone who is designated to only watch the water and not do anything else. They're not distracted by cooking. They're not distracted by phones or any you know, being taken away for any reason. Their sole focus is watching the water, and rotate that out every, you know, 20 to 30 minutes or so. And again, physically hand it off so you know, okay, this is the new water watcher. This is someone who is solely watching the kids in the pool. It's so important because 70% of accidents happen when multiple adults are around. And the reason is because we assume someone else is watching because they're there. But you can't assume that. They may be distracted by something. And so you have to really make sure and make sure it's a priority that you know who is watching the child at the moment.
I love it. I mean, these are things that, like, we know, but I don't know. There's
right?
And
yeah.
Accidents happen. You hear about it all the time, correct?
Yeah, daily. I have a family right now in lessons, and they lost a friend, neighbor's child was lost to drowning. And mm-hmm. And so that made them more aware and you know, to pay attention to, you know, how they taught their children. And it happens in our community every day.
Over 800 kids lose their lives every year to drowning, and most of them are preventable. If they would have known how to react in the water, if they would have known, you know, what to do or had some sort of skill to help them come up and get air, then they could have been saved. So it's very important to get kids swim lessons, but also to be aware and help other people be aware, because many people aren't. They don't understand the dangers and how common it is. They think, oh, it's never going to happen to me. I watch my kids. But mm-hmm. what happens, you know, how sneaky kids are, you run to the restroom really quick and, you know, they pull out the boxes of cereal, right, and dump everything out. It's the same thing with the water. They could run outside really quick and you know, push a toy over to climb the fence or, you know, right. do anything sneaky to get in the water. So it's really important to have lots of barriers and training.
And it happens so fast. So, yeah, I love it. Again, always so fun to talk with you, and I love what you're doing. I just really, I hear it all the time as I'm, you know, I have a fence around my pool, and we have a new granddaughter.
Oh.
She's 7 days old today.
Oh, my
goodness. So I'm so
excited.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's just, you know what? Life is precious, and life is now. And I just really want to say to our listeners right now, take note of this. If you are a parent, an aunt, you have any babies in your life, they're so precious. You want to just really make sure you're doing everything in your power to leave. So definitely. Can you give out your phone number and give out your website? And again, thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you, as always, for having me. I can be reached at 805-620-7177, and my website is survivalswimwithkim.com, and I'm
great.
On social media as well.
There you go. I know. I'm tagging you all the time, and you're tagging me, so I love it. So, again, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, take care. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to TNTAMS.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. And of course, I'm excited to talk with my next guest, Tony Wright. He's the CEO at UMF Manuka Honey. And we're going to be talking about really the importance of why we should check our ingredients and look at really where they're coming from. So again, Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kim. Yes, good to be here.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm sorry, are you having trouble picking me up?
Yeah, no problem. I can hear you. So talk to us a little bit about how did you create this honey?
How did we create this honey? So Manuka honey has been, I guess, in the public eye for the last 30 or so years. So it's gained a lot of popularity around the world as a natural health product.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, and so what does the research actually tell us about purchasing habits when it comes to health foods and products?
So what we found with our consumer research was less than 50% of consumers actually research what's in their products, and about two-thirds of consumers say that they don't really look at where the ingredients come from an origin or source point of view. So what that tells us is that consumers are quite reliant on the information that's on the label, which means they really need to be careful and pay attention to the detail of what's on the label to make sure that they're making a good purchase decision.
So what should we be looking for, Tony? I mean, like, you know, a lot of us, I mean, you think of Manuka, okay, you think they're all good. Are they all good, or are they coming from different places? And maybe, you know, and I would even want to know a little bit more about why Manuka is different than other things.
So we'll start with why the origin matters, which was your first question. So Manuka honey is from New Zealand. It's got proven health benefits. But the problem is there are other countries who claim that they also produce Manuka honey. But research has been done to show that the components in those honeys are quite different to the components that are in genuine Manuka honey from New Zealand. And the reason for that is that the plant, the Manuka tree growing in New Zealand, is unique and has a genetic distinctiveness which trees growing elsewhere around the world don't have. And so when consumers are purchasing honey, they want to make sure that they're getting it from the original source, because that's where all of the research has come from. That's where all of the health benefits research
interesting. Okay, and so what are some of the, like, the, I mean, is there side effects that we could get from different ingredients that might not be where we think they're from?
It's not so much the side effects. It's that consumers may not get the outcome that they're expecting. So those that have heard of Manuka honey and want to get the benefits from it may unwittingly purchase a product that doesn't come from New Zealand and therefore isn't supported by the research and is not the same product that has generated that all of the body of research that goes with it. So the problem is not so much that there could be side effects, it's more that consumers may just not get the benefit that they were hoping for.
And what are the benefits? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Manuka honey is actually a really complicated honey. It's got a lot of components in it. And we did some research some time ago which showed that Manuka honey has around 2,000 different compounds in it. And if you compare that to clover honey, which only has about 90, you can see that Manuka honey is quite a complex, rich honey with lots of things in it. Now, some of these compounds are known to be anti-inflammatory and antioxidants, and so there are a lot of conditions that benefit from natural products that contain those compounds. So, for example, gut health and immunity, which are actually kind of linked. If you look at the anti-inflammatory effects of Manuka honey and other natural health products, by calming down the gut and providing a better microbiome and so forth, you actually create a better immune response. So consumers getting looking for the immunity protection from Manuka honey or even the gut health benefits of Manuka honey, they kind of go hand in hand, and it's because of the rich complexity of those compounds which are in Manuka honey.
So I'm looking at a jar of Manuka honey that I have right now, and it says certified UMF. Is that meaning that this is a good one, and product of New Zealand?
Well, you've done well. Good. You've selected the right honey for a start, which is good. So, yeah, so we've created the UMF quality mark to give consumers confidence in the product that they're buying. So what you're looking at there with the UMF quality mark on that product is the guarantee that that product is from New Zealand, so it is authentic New Zealand Manuka honey. It's got all of the quality parameters you would expect, and it's also therefore backed by the large body of research supporting its health benefits.
So what does the 10 plus UMF mean?
So that's a reflection of the potency. So when I was talking before about all of the components that are in Manuka honey, they do vary, and so what we do is we also provide a potency rating so that consumers can navigate through the range and select the strength of Manuka honey that best suits their needs. And I would say to someone, start with a UMF 10, which is what you've got in front of you, and then pay attention. So if you consume that over a month, pay attention to how you feel after consuming that for a month. And then you may go, well, I could stick with this, or I could go to a stronger Manuka honey if I felt that I needed to. So really, that's just a way for consumers to choose within the range what potency they think is best suited to their needs.
So is this almost like a vitamin? Is this how they're using it now?
It's probably more complicated than a vitamin because it's doing a lot of things. So there are a lot of components in Manuka honey, and when you look at how that works in the metabolism, there are potentially lots of points in the metabolic system that the components in Manuka honey are interacting with. So it's actually an area that we are still researching and still understanding.
That's interesting. And of course, babies cannot have this. Anybody under 1 year old, correct?
Yeah, that's the general information for honey as a whole, and it's really just a safeguard because babies haven't developed the immune systems to deal with products like honey, which could potentially cause a reaction which they wouldn't have once they're a bit older.
So what is the best way to consume this?
So a lot of people consume Manuka honey just straight off the spoon. They treat it like a lot of other supplements where they just have it straight. Other people like to have it as part of their diet routine. They might mix it in with yogurt, have it with breakfast cereal, put it in tea, or mix it with warm water. So there's lots of ways that manuka honey can be included in your diet.
And is there people that are allergic to honey? Is this a different honey than just the regular honey that you buy on the shelf?
Yeah, well, as I said, it's got a lot more components in it than most other honeys. So as I said, there's around 2,000 different components in it, and other honeys have much less than that. And because there's been so much research on manuka honey, we are confident in the health benefits that it provides. And that's, again, why the origin matters so much. Because if products are coming from different origins and don't have that same array of components that we're expecting, then you can't say that the health benefits would necessarily come from those other products.
So would this be considered almost like an organic honey?
So organic is a different classification. It's organic is about how products are produced. But I guess in the sense of it being it is definitely very much a natural product. There is nothing in honey other than honey. And manuka honey is produced with very minimal processing and intervention. It's basically as close to what the bees are producing as possible.
I love it. And can you use this to cook with?
You can use it to cook with. What we suggest is if you are going to add it to things where there's a bit of heating involved, add it as late as possible so that the heating doesn't damage the product. You can use it in a lot of applications where you would otherwise use other types of honey. Absolutely.
Okay. And what does the MGO 263 plus mean?
So MGO is one of the main components that characterizes manuka honey. It's responsible for the antibacterial activity, which is what manuka honey was originally renowned for. So you will see that on labels because, again, with the potency, it provides a measure of the potency of the product alongside what you would also see with the UMF rating.
Wow, really, really interesting. All right, and so probably using it for putting it in tea, putting it in cereal, and you should really see if you have any reactions to it, right? For somebody that's maybe really sensitive, would you still recommend this to them?
I think most people don't generally react with honey. The issue with young children, with infants, is a bit different. But I think if people try manuka honey, obviously listen to your body. If you need to stop, you need to stop. But most people are perfectly fine with taking manuka honey.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this has been really interesting, and I'm glad I had my honey near me to ask you some questions because there are things that people don't know. So, Tony, thank you so much for joining us here. And how do my listeners find out more about this?
So your listeners can go to our website, which is umf.org.nz, and that's where they can find more information about manuka honey and the benefits they can enjoy.
You got it. Well, perfect. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. All right, we're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Stacey Jones. She's the founder and CEO of Hollywood Branded. We're going to talk about personal branding. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I'm excited to speak with my next guest, Stacey Jones. She's the founder and CEO of Hollywood Branded. And of course, the largest independent pop culture creative agency. And Stacey, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got started.
Absolutely. So I have spent over 27 years working in Hollywood, where I own an advertising and creative agency that specializes in pop culture. And what that means is I work with brands on a daily basis. Like, what does that mean? I work, my team and I work with brands where we create opportunities for them to become embedded in the heart of anything that is cool and entertaining. So that's movies and TV shows, music, celebrities, influencers, red carpet award shows, all those things that have some flash and sizzle and that help elevate their brand into the world of celebrity.
Wow,
and
that's
you asked
really
me a question. You asked me a question. How did I get started? So I started and I landed in this whole industry. I went to school at the University of Arizona, had a scenic design major with a BFA in theater production. Who knew what was going to happen with that and that I could actually make a lifelong career out of it, not actually on stage or in a movie set. And moved out to Los Angeles, worked my way up, and started this agency just over 17 years ago.
Wow. And so, okay, let me just walk my little brain here through this of what you just told me. So if I was a radio host and I want to brand myself with, I don't know, some clothes, like you see a lot of people out there, influencers, is that kind of where you're going with this? Is that what you mean?
Sure.
Or, okay. So
yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Pick the products that I'm already using or I already love, and I'd be like, you know, to my listeners, oh my gosh, you need to try this program for your business. Or is that what you mean?
Well, that can be. So we're not representing influencers. We have represented content more. So we work with brands to find ways that they can become part of that influencer's world or be part of that content world. Now, if I was an influencer, and we do work with thousands of them, we would be approaching them and saying, let's take a look at who you are. Who is your brand yourself? Do you match the type of brands we are looking to have potential partnerships with? Who is your ethos? How do you show up? Who and how do you talk about yourself? What type of content do you create as a radio host? How could you actually help us expand that brand awareness? What are your platforms that you have that you could share that brand and bring it into your world? Do you have social media? Would you be talking about the brand on your radio show or your podcast? Would you be taking photos? Would you be showing up and doing event appearances? Would you do come to a restaurant and have a meal and then talk about it or be interviewed about it? So how would you actually cross over into that land of brand where there is a affinity between the two of you?
Got it. I love it. Okay. I got to think of all the things I love that I already just share, right? Because I go to a restaurant and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody needs to try this. So, you know, I mean, that's just how I roll in my life. So I love that. What kind of businesses are you working with?
So we work with brands of all sizes, but primarily, you know, some of our clients over the years have ranged from Bumble, the dating app, over to Ralph Lauren and Lacoste. We work with Pilot Pen. They're in every literal episode of the Kelly Clarkson Show. They've been partnered with Project Runway for years. We do influencer partnerships with them for back-to-school programming. We work with hundreds of different brands of all types, actually.
So when I have different people on my guests, because I work with a lot of different PRs, public relations, and they have speakers that are talking about, it's planting season right now, right? Is that you're getting those people, those kind of jobs?
So for, you're saying it's planting season? So if, so is it someone who is in gardening and floral and maybe that they are looking at partnership opportunities with either local, regional, or national gardening centers or gardening brands that they could be talking with and partnering with, whether that is fertilizer and compost over to actual floral brands. So yes, every individual out there in reality who has any sort of platform is an offer, the ability to amplify. And so if you have something that is strong enough to amplify, then you do have the opportunity to work with brands. Now, there's three different ways that you might approach those brand partnerships. That first way, if you don't have too much of an audience potentially, but maybe you make really great content and maybe you have a really good focused group around you who hangs on every word you say and you're a niche expert, maybe there's a level there that is trade. You know, there it, you know, the brand scratches your back, you scratch the brand's back. How can you both benefit? You get something for free. The brand gets some amplification and some content or gets to show up somewhere. So that's that level. Then there's the invest level where now a brand is actually paying you as an influencer to create content or show up or to be that amplification and voice for the brand. And you're getting paid for it. Or there might be ways that the brand is helping provide a really cool amplification experience where you're being invited behind the red carpet to some cool grand opening or some new prestigious event, and you're gaining the ability to go there and cover it and explore it and share it.
I love it. I love it. So how hard is it for somebody to break into that if they, you know, have an audience, have a following?
Well, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who call themselves influencers now. And there's all levels of types of these influencers. The first thing that you look at is the size. So if someone is a nano influencer, they just have a couple of thousand followers and they're really well known to that group who follow them. You know, it's friends, family, and those extensions from there. And that's going to be more of a consideration of like a user-generated content world where these individuals typically are learning the craft of how to create content, learning the craft of how to do brand speak, bring in brand messaging points, really curating and showing that they have this ability to be a potential advertising platform. Then you have the larger, which is a micro influencer, and that's usually someone up to 20, 30,000 followers. Now they've gotten some expertise. They're growing their market. They are showing that they're doing brand deals. They're getting paid a little bit of money here and there. And it's becoming more regular for them. And they are honing who they are. And then you start getting up into the macro setting of a influencer. And those are the hundreds of thousands of followers. And they know what they're doing. They have people who hang on every word. And they can influence and drive sales to brands. And then you have the mega influencers where you're looking at your celebrities, your reality stars, your actors, your music artists, your, you know, anyone even up into the political sphere, people who you're seeing be part of pop culture and conversations, and you're seeing them on TV, you're hearing of them talked about, you're reading about them in your magazines, and those people are getting the highest opportunities to work with brands because they're seen as the biggest amplifier.
I love it. I love it. This is really interesting. And so, what are the downfalls? Like, is it hard to keep this going? Because, I mean, how many times do you need to post a day or do face, you know, Facebook Lives or Instagram Lives. And, you know, I was just at a seminar in Dallas, and there was a girl that she said you have to post at least 6 times a day, and you have to do them live, and you have to, like, I mean, it's full time, correct? That is your job.
So it certainly crosses over into a job at one point. Most people out there who call themselves influencers have a 9-to-5 job and influencers on the side. If anyone's posting 6 times a day, I hope that that's only on a Instagram story. And I'm praying that that's not on any other platform that is static and that stays up, because that is a lot of spamming your follower base. So typically, you're going to get into a system and a plan, and it's going to be very driven based on who your audience is. If you are someone who is talking to teens and 20-something-year-olds, they're going to be a lot more amenable to having their feeds coming up with information as long as it's relevant and on brand. As you're starting to scale up and get a little bit older, none of us want to be spammed with unlimited content. We want to be a little bit more selective about who we're following, who we're seeing. And the algorithms as part of these social media platforms, they are looking for engagement. So if you're sitting there and you're just creating content, but people aren't engaging, watching, listening, commenting, sharing, all of those things that we're supposed to do to show engagement, then it's really that you're just putting it up there for an empty world to see, because less than 6% of your follower base ever actually sees that content. So there really is a lot of strategy that goes behind of building your brand if you want to be an influencer.
Wow. Well, the one that I was talking about, she makes like hundreds of thousands of dollars off of this. I mean, and that was one of the classes that we went to, and it is only on Instagram.
Great. So she's probably being she's probably doing Instagram stories, and she's probably promoting out to a lot of links. She's probably tied into a lot of affiliates on that as well. She
Correct.
Has some brand,
like I'm drinking a drink right now. It makes me feel so good, right? That kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Now,
but that would have
something...
taken her a long time to actually get up to that point as well.
Yeah. And now, is this something that you teach?
And see, as far as, can you provide a little bit more? That question?
Well, okay, so if somebody wanted to work with you, what would that look like? Or
sure.
Are you out there looking for people that are, wow, these people have a huge platform. We can hook them up with Nordstrom's, or we could hook them up with...
Sure. So what we do, so we work with all the talent and influencer agencies, and then we work directly with influencers too. We have hundreds of thousands of dollars of analytical software that we put influencers through and for review. We look at deep engagement numbers, metrics. We look at content quality. We go through, we make sure that their brand is not overly saturated with too many brands. We look for ways that we can work and not just have someone be one and done, where we can build a campaign where it might stretch over multiple months, where they're producing content that is across a plan and a story and building a narrative so that there's a repeat touch base, and so that there is a higher authenticity to them versus 6 posts a day and getting a little bit more cluttered. And there's different strategies to everything with influencer marketing. You know, TikTok has a different strategy. Instagram has a different strategy. You can go over to Snap and it has a different strategy. It's based on your consumer following base. It's based on the actual brand and what they're looking for. But for individuals who want to be an influencer and they say, this is fantastic, I am going to make $1,000,000,000 by going out there because I love content creation. I love taking photos and videos. I love being a director, a producer. I love being the actor. I love being the editor. I love being that content creator, the writer. All of those things wrapped up into one. So that's the benefit of what an influencer is to a brand. It is a production house in one individual or in a small team of individuals. Then that lifestyle is for you. But it requires a lot of time and a lot of focus in creating good content.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it is so much fun to have a following and to, you know, connect with them and kind of get to know your
listeners and your people and your social and all that stuff. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things. I love people and I love sharing things that I already love and want other people to love them, you know? So
right. And that's what makes you great for an authentic brand partner, right? So like if we were working with you, you would sit down and you would look at all of the different brands that are authentic to your life. What type of pen do you write with? What type of cookware do you use? What type of restaurants do you like going out to? What type of makeup brands do you wear? What type of clothing do you like wearing? What type of cars do you drive? What is natural already to your life that you have chosen to put around your own brand? Because that's part of it, right? So the reason why a brand is looking for an influencer. Yeah. A reason why a brand is looking for an influencer is to figure out how that individual's brand either matches that of the brand or how it enhances and can bring that brand authenticity, who they are, just what they're trying to get across over to an entirely new audience. And there's a crossover. So that's the most important part.
Yeah. So it coincides with what you already are. You're being authentic. People can see when you're like, you should use this. And they're like, I don't think she's using it. Correct. That's the worst, you know? So I love that.
It's the same thing. That authenticity, like you just touched on, like the brilliant part, right? So, like, if you are talking about brand X this week, and then you see in the influencer feed that an exact competitor of that same brand is being talked about by that influencer the next week and someone else the following week. Now, unless you're a fashion influencer and all you do is all fashion brands and it doesn't matter and it doesn't need to be one brand, only one brand, but when you start getting out there into the whole world of the thousands of brands that are out there, that's where there's misses. And that's where people who are following, they don't like it because it lacks the authenticity. It looks like it's a money play or just like a greed play.
And that's the psychology of what people really see. They're, you know, I mean, not everybody wants to see that everybody's happy on Facebook. They want to see, you know, the joys, the, you know, the ins, the out. They want to feel like they're connected to you in an emotional level, not like they wish they had you had their life or they had your life, you know?
I think everyone likes looking, you know, I think there's a little bit of people who are shown on social media are being put on a bit of a pedestal by their followers usually, right?
Correct.
And so you're looking at these individuals and in life, this is how it applies in the world of what I live in. A celebrity is on a pedestal. A celebrity is looking around and they see all the other celebrities that are sitting on the same pedestals they are, or they're seeing celebrities who are even bigger than them sitting on higher pedestals. And they're looking at them going, woe is me, I wish I was them. Then the same thing comes down to the fan base of the influencer, the celebrity who's underneath them. And they're looking up at the celebrity and saying, oh, I wish I was them. And each of this keeps on going because we have so many different subsets of humanity and every level has different pedestals that we're on where there's a group looking up at the above or that which is 10 above, wishing that it was them. And so the further the disconnect, the more entitlement an influencer has versus being able to actually come across and be authentic and humble and joyous, you start creating a disconnect and you start seeing where people are less appreciative of those who are showing up on screen because they don't have that humbleness. They don't have that appreciation, but they have this break where it's now people wishing that they had what they had, but they're kind of upset by what that person is showing that they have too. So there's a lot of psychology to it.
Wow. I love it. I love it. This is so interesting. I have to tell you. So let me ask you, how hard is it to maintain that?
It is a 24/7 day. When we talk about influencers, like this is, they're under the microscope. So if you're talking about a celebrity, even more so. So once your life is broadcast, people are watching you. You can't do anything wrong. You cannot show up and say anything wrong. You cannot be too political if that's not your brand. You cannot be too anything if that's not your brand. You can't make a mistake. because you are having everything recorded for posterity forevermore, and people are watching.
Oh, you're living in a fishbowl, right?
Very true.
There you go. I love it. Stacey Jones, this has been so much fun talking to you, and I love to keep in touch with you, and I love to connect with you through our social. How do my listeners find out more about you?
Absolutely. So you can always find me on LinkedIn. It's Stacey Jones. Very easy. S-T-A-C-Y-J-O-N-E-S. You can also go over to our agency's website, hollywoodbranded.com, or to our blog where we publish articles on how you could be an influencer, how you could work with brands, how brands could work with celebrities, anything you can imagine in pop culture at blog.hollywoodbranded.com.
Let me ask you the last 2 seconds, top brand. What does that mean? Any brand goes?
A top brand?
Yeah.
So what is a top brand? Or like what makes a top brand?
Pop brand. Anything that pops that you are branding? Is that the reason?
Oh, sure. So, well, we just did a whole big partnership campaign with Mean Girls and Pilot Pen, and we created a custom pen line. There was a commercial. If you watch Mean Girls, the movie, you will see Pilot throughout it. We do partnerships with music artists, all things like that. So,
I love it. Yeah. I just wanted to say that sounds cool. All right. Well, Stacey, thank you so much. We're at the end of our show, and I'd love to talk to you again, though, for sure. So, again,
absolutely. I had a great time. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. Let's connect on social for sure. All right. Thanks so much. We are at the end of our show. I hope you enjoyed my guest. And, of course, I always end my show with a moment of happiness. Never measure your life by your possessions. Measure it by the hearts you touched, the smiles you created, and the love that you share. I hope that you have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.